Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Matt.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're coming up on 4:06 in the afternoon. Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings on a reentry Monday, which is brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Everything from the weekend. So I thought a development to me from over the weekend was the Bruins, who had a practice on whatever it was, Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Saturday, in which they had, was it nine guys who were out or seven?
Let's see. I'm trying to count here. It was a lot. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, it was at least seven.
Okay, so I thought it was I had heard seven or nine, and not just the guys that we were already focused on, David Pastrnak and Andrei Kashe. You had guys out like Charlie McAvoy, David Krejci, Tuukka Rask, Torrey Krug. I mean, the biggest guys on the team. And because the league, the NHL, and the players have agreed that anyone who misses time all gets one blanket designation to try and protect the COVID guys, so they all say they're unfit to participate. So you don't know if they're COVID, not COVID, what it's related to, quarantined. You have no idea. And it got a lot of attention that Pastrnak and Kashe were sent home after one workout with the team with that unfit to participate designation. And then the next thing you know, here over the weekend, all those guys are out. Charlie Coyle was another one who was out. And, boy, at that point, on Saturday, Murray, you're sitting there saying, what the hell's going on here?
Well, doesn't it, and isn't the immediate thing to you go to is, they're all sick, this is running rampant through the team? That's what I immediately thought.
Outbreak.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course. Yes, of course. You think, and again, I can't remember, maybe Dallas was one of the teams. There's a couple MLS squads that had to back out of that tournament.
Yeah.
In Orlando, because they had outbreaks. And first they had to cancel games, postpone games, and the next thing you know, they had to withdraw from the tournament. And you had those 7 to 9 guys out, the big names, out of practice, and you're sitting there going, holy crap, Pastrnak came back and is patient zero and infected the whole team, and they're going to shut this thing down. Like, wasn't part of you sort of thinking that doomsday scenario?
Oh, yeah, no, when that news came out and that started a bubble Saturday into Sunday, I convinced myself, the Bruins are effed. Like, they're completely screwed.
So, yesterday was an off day, and then today most of them were back. Krejci's back, Krug's back, Rask is back. They're all back, except Pastrnak, Kashe, okay? And it feels like the Bruins are, I don't want to say the Bruins are singling them out, but it feels like they're being treated differently, and there's probably a reason, than these other guys, and Charlie McAvoy, who, I'm sorry, if you had asked me for a pre-pandemic list of guys that I would be concerned about, Pastrnak would have been one, McAvoy would have been two. McAvoy was one of the few that did not return today. So you got to sort of You got to sort of think about that. But everyone else who was out on Saturday came back today or was back by today. And so it was maintenance days or some other knickknack, or there was just a half squad workout or whatever the case may be. And it wasn't COVID. But boy, there was a time there where you were like, what the hell is going on the Bruins, Mass?
Well, it looks scary again when you're talking about we're in the middle of a pandemic and all of a sudden a lot of people don't show up. What the hell else are you supposed to think? And look, with regard to McAvoy, I mean, at some point you just get tired of waiting. And I'm not saying I'm there yet, but the thought starts popping into my head like, now what? Now what is it? So I do, you know, I'd like to see McAvoy, you know, we talk about Tatum being obsessed. I'd like to see McAvoy be the same, you know, same type of thing. I want McAvoy to be the leader of the defense corps. I want him to be completely and totally obsessed with being one of the best defensemen in the league. And I don't know that he's that guy. I wonder about him.
I don't know either. Talented kid, but, you know, you hear mixed things about, work ethic or professionalism or et cetera. And so until he proves it, I got my questions about him too. And he's one of the guys going into the thing that I said, you know, hopefully he comes out of it on the other side. Pastrnak hasn't. We'll see where McAvoy is. But everyone else does come back. On Pastrnak, I feel like the team continues to sort of, if not single them out. Well, again, they're being singled out because I think their situation is different. Everybody else missed over the weekend. I guess Coyle had an inconclusive test, so he was held out for a day, and then he tested again and tested negative immediately and was back out. The rest of them were all sorts of different things. But the fact that Pastrnak and Kashe, that everyone else has come back, I'll put it to you like that, not McAvoy, but pretty much everyone else has come back. But Pastrnak and Kashe, since they came and then left, have remained out, have remained unfit to participate. That tells you something, Maz. Their situation is different. And that's why the team's treating them like that. They're not singling them out. They're not punishing them. It's just, it's different because they came into contact and these are the protocols.
Oh, yeah. No. It's been that way from the beginning with those two, and they've been lumped together. So, you know, I think it's pretty clear what happened there, that they were together, that when they were exposed to whoever it was or whatever it was, whenever it was, and that now they're being treated accordingly. But look, you know, with Pastrnak, again, depending on how long he's out, and the idea that he wouldn't be able to go to Toronto with them raises all types of problems, potentially. One of which is that, you know, when the team goes, if he's not with them, he's then subject to, what is it, a 4-day quarantine if he has to fly commercial to get up there. So the whole reentry process gets a little bit more complicated. And I'm not telling you they're totally there yet. We'll see what happens here. What's that?
No, that's an important detail, Maz. I mean, you just mentioned it. You should say that again. The team is leaving on the 26th on the charter flight. And if you're not on your team's charter flight and you fly in commercially or even, I guess, private jet, but if you come on your own after the fact, you have to quarantine in your hotel room. Again, can't leave your hotel room for 4 days. So now you're behind all this time they've been skating. Then you get to Toronto and you've got to be 4 more days behind everybody else. In the meantime, losing your mind in your hotel room for 4 straight days where you can't leave those 4 walls. And that's a big, like that's, you're not just a little bit behind at that point. You're substantially behind at that point, Mez.
Right, and we are talking about a guy who is a weapon in goal-scoring situations. So again, I don't think Pastrnak's the best player on the team, but he's the best goal scorer. And, you know, they set him up on that face-off circle on the power play. He just fires away over there, and we all know what he can do. So we're talking about significant games now. Now, you can make a big deal out of the play-in games or not. I think that one seed has value. But if Pastrnak's not there and they lose a game by a goal that they could have otherwise won and they go 0-4 on the power play, you tell me we're not going to look at that and wonder if Pastrnak could have made a difference? And then all of a sudden, the whole dynamic changes. So, look, again, we're talking about a unique season so that every game takes on greater meaning, because if an impact player is not available for one of those games, then the landscape could change. I mean, the whole thing is that way now. And so you'd like to think that it's somewhere along the line, this guy would understand that other people are relying on him. And there's a responsibility there. And he's clearly not there yet. And you know, with guys like that, you wonder if they'll ever get there.
And I wonder if the team's pissed and they're it seeps out a little bit, but you know, between the lines. Don Sweeney said any player that misses a day here or there, it's not that big of a deal. But when you're starting to miss weeks on end, we have a couple players that will be in that category. You certainly have rust that you'll need to knock off. We do have some players that have been skating quite a bit leading up to phase three, but the timing, I think, more than anything, the continuity with your line mates, the situations you have to work through as you go through practices, you're going to have to hopefully get them up to speed when you do have them back. So again, he says, we're going to have a couple of guys in that category. When you're talking missing weeks on end, we have a couple players that will be in that category. So he's basically telling you, I mean, that's got to be Pastrnak and Kasha. I don't know who else he could be referring to there, unless McAvoy's on that list too. That's all a big development for the Bruins.
Oh, for sure. And the other thing that stood out to me too is when asked, you know, if they're going to rejoin at some point, he said, Don Sweeney said, certainly hopeful. I mean, that still sounds like that's pretty open to interpretation to me. That doesn't sound like that's definitive. Oh, no. Like, it sounded more definitive last week when we heard that they were unfit to participate from Bruce Cassidy. Like, nope, they're going to be there for the playoffs. But now it's certainly hopeful. So that doesn't make me feel that great.
Well, and Murray, the other thing is as we're talking about it, you sit here and say, okay, they're being held out because they were exposed to someone who had COVID. What if they get it? Like, what if they actually get infected? And then, so now you're talking about, and then you have symptoms, let alone acute ones. Now you're going to miss a period of time. Now you're not going to be on the ice. Who knows what it's going to do to your wind in terms of your ability, your stamina.
Right.
And then you're going to have to re-enter through the whole process. Like, how much time are we talking about? A month? In which case, it could all be over by then. Like, you know, so I'm sure the Bruins, and maybe the Bruins know more than we do. They have their fingers crossed that, okay, they were exposed. They better not get it.
Okay. Do you think the team's agitated with Pastrnak? Are you agitated with Pastrnak as a Bruins fan? Also, coming up next, guess who thinks he may be getting breathers in the playoffs or maybe splitting some time? You might be surprised to hear who I'm talking about. That'll come your way right after these words with your calls at 617-779-0985.
Boston's home for sports.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Any player that misses a day in here, it's not that big a deal. But when you're starting to miss, you know, weeks on end, which we've had a couple players that'll be in that category, you certainly have rust that you'll knock off. We do have some players that have been skating quite a bit leading up to phase three. But the timing, I think, more than anything, the continuity with your line mates, situations that you have to work through as you go through practices, you're going to have to kind of hopefully get them up to full speed when you do have them back in a shorter period of time. It's not ideal by any means, but it's just what you have to deal with going forward. And I think every team pretty much will probably face it at some point in time, unless they're just incredibly fortunate and good for them. But, you know, we're not in that situation, so I can't change that. All I can do is worry about and plan for what we have to do moving forward.
All right, so that's Don Sweeney on the Pastrnak-Kasha situation. How about this? Tuukka Rask over the weekend said he would be, quote, surprised if you see goalies play every minute of every game during these playoffs because the situation is so different. And Joe Haggerty points out, obviously, that could open the door for Halak getting some games at some point in the postseason. Another Rask quote. Quote, we've had the luxury of me sharing the net with Yarrow the last couple of years, and it's worked out great for us. As far as the playoffs are concerned, you never know. You lay off for 4 months, and then you're right into playoff hockey. There might be some injuries and some nagging injuries that might happen, your groin or hips, said Rask. Again, on an NHL Zoom call with fellow Vezina Trophy finalists Connor Hellebuck and Vasilevsky there in Tampa, he said, I'd be surprised if you see goalies play every minute of every game during these playoffs because the situation is so different. But I'm looking forward to it. You never know, but I guess we'll see what happens. We've had the luxury of having two good goalies for the last few seasons, so I think we're in a good spot. How do you feel about that, Murray?
Oh, great, actually. Tell me that he's not going to be playing the most important of the games, and I'll feel even better about it.
Not exactly, though, killer instinct. Again, this is just Rask,
you're shocked by that? And do you think that? And by the way, those injuries he's pointing out, considering he has had groin surgery, right? And the groin's been a problem in the past. It's not like he's bringing those up in a hypothetical sense. He's talking about himself.
You get the. He's already had to, tap out of a few practices. He came back for one, didn't come back for another, missed the weekend, was back on the ice today. So he's sort of been on and off, back and forth. And he's another one of these guys that admitted that he didn't do much work during the pandemic. He did more golfing than he said he got his work in by golfing. You know, that's how he worked out. And he, hasn't really been able to make it through many of these practices. And now he's saying he'd be surprised if you see these goalies, play every game in the playoffs. And me and Halak have worked great in the past. We've switched off before in the past. And, you never know when nagging injuries might happen, like your groin or your hips, both of which he's had problems with. Like, I feel like he's setting us up for something here, Maz.
It sounded to me, sorry to cut you off, but it also sounds to me, and hearing that, it's like, whew. Hey, he's looking at this as a positive. Oh, some of the load's going to be off my shoulders? All right.
Yeah, and when you say he's setting us up for something, I wonder if he's already had it. I wonder if that's what him coming out of those practices was about. And now he's sort of saying to everybody, this thing is, I'm already straining stuff, and it's already happening now. So I wonder if they've already had the discussion, for crying out loud. Like, that's how I took it. When I see that comment, it tells me, he's got something going on. He's got something going on physically, not just mentally, Murray, physically. Like, to me, there's an issue there that he's sort of letting everybody know about.
He is already greasing the skids for not being able to play every game in the playoffs. Like, he expects it, or I don't know if he wants it, but something. It's just, again, another little nagging thing with Tuukka Rask. It's like,
don't blame me for when I fail, because I told you I'm going to fail.
I'm used to it by now, but good God, it started before they even got on the ice when he did an interview towards the end of the pandemic, and he said, I guess it's maybe we should start skating now, and he said it just like that, we're coming back. I guess I should get on skates, implying that he hasn't been on skates, hasn't even really thought about getting on skates, but I guess we're coming back. So I guess it's time to get on, and it's like, the killer instinct is just not there with that guy. God, he needs a cup so badly. And is he even going to be able to make it through this thing? He's already pretty much setting us up for the fact that he won't be able to get through this thing. So there's your thoughts on that, too. 617-779-0985. In the meantime, Joe in Vermont on the Bruins. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, so good. This morning, I swear I heard Kutcher and Rich say that Pasta played a pickup game of hockey in Malden with Kasha, and that's why he's unfit to play, because they're not supposed to play with anything that's like not NHL regulated. So with that in mind, I actually wanted to know whose shenanigans would you rather want to deal with as a GM, Foster or Tatum? And I'll listen.
Oh, Tatum. Tatum. Tatum's sure. There. Tatum's there, and he's on the practice floor. Tatum is able to participate because while Tatum spent a little too much time at the driving range, at least he kept it clean. And he's not exposing himself, or hasn't, to someone with COVID. He hasn't gotten COVID.
He was able to get on the plane.
Exactly. He was able to get on the plane. And maybe Pastrnak won't. They're taking off on Sunday. And will he be able to get on the plane? Because if he's not on the plane, he's got to go separately and then spend 4 extra days alone in a hotel room in Toronto. And now how far behind is he with the rest of that team? So as much as the Tatum's golf aggravates me, Pastrnak is far worse.
Oh, well, look, with Tatum, there were no real shenanigans. I mean, again, it just comes down to the intensity level in terms of the commitment. Like, the question we're asking is he a psycho? Right? And I mean that in a good way.
Right.
Is he psycho committed to basketball and to winning? And we don't know that. With Pastrnak, you have to look at him and say, does this guy know that he can't leave his hotel room at night? It's like a totally different set of problems.
And with Rask, it's like that killer instinct, that, just that gotta have it attitude is just not there. It's, you know, part of what makes him very good. He's very even keeled and all of that. But you sometimes want to hear that other thing. And boy, those comments over the weekend feel like one big setup. One big setup for, I'm not feeling great, and I don't know if I can make it through the playoffs. I mean, I think that's what he just said. If I had to Felger and Maz it a little bit, I think he basically just said, I'm not feeling so good. I probably won't make it through the entire playoffs. Or, you know, get ready for a platoon because it's a different kind of year, and I don't know if I'm going to be playing every other night or every night, as the case may be. It's even more condensed than usual. And how do you feel about your starting goalie saying that and feeling that way?
So I'll tell you, with him, I don't mind if he's trying to fool himself or lie to himself a little bit. I do. It sounds crazy, I know, because I hear what you're saying. But I think he's the kind of guy that the bigger you make it out to be, the harder it is for him to deal with it. And so, you know, look, last year, if you remember going into the playoffs, Cassidy was talking openly about maybe needing to go to Halak in the middle of a series. Like Cassidy was saying it point blank. And then, you know, and in that way, I think in some ways almost took pressure off of Rask, as if to say, well, if he fails, we'll just go to the next guy. And then Rask went out and just started to be, and he played great, really, right until the very end. And I'll leave that part of it to Murray. But I wonder if, you know, and then once you get to game seven of the finals, I think it was apparent that was his game. There was no escape after that. His, you know, everybody understood the magnitude of it, and then he finally cracked. So I wonder with Rask if you're just better off, you know, trying to make it easy on him mentally so that he doesn't go into it thinking, I got to play 25 games in a row here because otherwise he won't make it.
This whole thing, you know, again, about goalies playing regularly in the postseason, he said, the way I look at it, all bets are off. Because everybody's been off for 4 months. It's not the same situation that it would have been or could have been in March and April. Everybody's starting from scratch and trying to recapture the feeling you had when the quarantine started. But it's going to be tough. I think as a team, we're just trying to go out there, start strong, and recapture the energy that we had. I'm just going to go out there and try to play my best, and we're going to have 3 games before the playoffs start. So hopefully you can get that good feeling back with yourself, and you're ready to start the playoffs. It's not going to be easy. I don't love his tone, but I never love his tone.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you expected anything different?
So, like, just once can you say, I am balls to the wall. We need to win. I need to win. I'm going to play 28 games if that's what it takes, and I am ready to go balls to the wall. Can you just, like, do that once for me? Just give me that for once in the way that you carry yourself or any, you know, it's just not him. And again, I think that serves him well on balance because he's a pretty consistent player at that position. And it's like, I got it. But I don't know. Can I get a little fire in the belly, Murray? A little something?
Instead, no fire in the belly. Instead, just a shrug. Guess I should start skating. Maybe I'll be splitting a lot of time in the postseason. I mean, you know.
I'd be surprised if you see goalies play every minute of every game. It's like basically telling you, I'm not playing every minute of every game.
Get ready to be disappointed, guys. I don't know what else to tell you.
Crap.
I'm telling you, in his case, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think if he needs to compartmentalize things that way, because if he starts approaching it as I'm going to play all 28, he can't cope. He can't cope. He can't deal with that.
Well, could Halak being in the playoffs be a good thing?
Yep.
It could be, because Halak can get hot. I mean, look, not just that run with Montreal, where he had an epic run and took them to the conference finals. He's had little stretches here with the Bruins in the regular season where he's gotten hot. There was a time last season where he was the starter over Rask, you know, when Rask had that leave of absence, and not just that, but he outplayed him, and he was the guy. And so we've seen him get hot here for 2-week stretches. Halak can get hot and carry you for 2 weeks. He can. So is Tuukka basically opening the door? Is Rask opening the door for Halak to get hot and take the job from him? And does he even care? Like, that's the second thing I sort of wonder about with Rask. But anyway, there are some Bruins thoughts. You can weigh in on that. 617-779-0985. A story that's related to the NHL and where we started today, baseball, which is where we started. Again, the Baseball Reporters returns tonight at 6 o'clock. The Red Sox open up their season this week, Friday, first pitch. MLB begins their season on Thursday. We've had some exhibition games in real stadiums over the weekend, so baseball is starting to pick up momentum. That's where we began today. We'll circle back to it. What I think is the lead story in baseball has a hockey tie-in, and we'll get to all of it right after Big Jim Murray's update here on Felger and Maz on a Reentry Monday.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Felger Mass.
Hey, when you call and say two things, three things, you're gonna have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm gonna have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How in the world are we here so late in the process with the Jays still having no home?
Zubin, this is sort of life amid the coronavirus, and you knew that there were going to be complications. You just didn't figure that they were going to be literal geopolitical complications. And what happened with the Blue Jays was very simple. They got allowance from the city of Toronto to play at Rogers Center. They got allowance from the province of Ontario to play at Rogers Center. But at the federal level, they did not get the go-ahead, and they were hopeful that this was going to happen, but public sentiment, Zubin, in Canada was strongly against the idea of having people coming back and forth, no matter how much you were going to bubble them in the stadium. They simply did not want to open the border and make their citizens more susceptible to contracting COVID-19.
All right, it's time now for the DN Bandline's Move Around the League. And not only is there a player moving, not only is there a big move around the league, an entire team is going to be moving, and that's the Toronto Blue Jays. You just heard Jeff Passan there on ESPN. The Toronto Blue Jays have been shut out of playing Major League Baseball games in Toronto. Again, so I tell you that in sports, making moves are tough decisions. When moving your home or business, though, the decision is simple. Go with my mover, DN Van Lines, at 1-800-51-MOVER. So the DN Van Line Move Around the League is the Blue Jays having to pick up shop and go somewhere else entirely. As you heard there, again, it was the Canadian federal government that said, nope, no dice. And if you're wondering why the NHL can go play in two hub cities, Edmonton and Toronto, but the federal government in Canada is shutting out the Blue Jays from playing baseball, it's because the Toronto and Edmonton NHL situations are bubbles. There's no traveling over
the border.
No
coming and going. Right.
There's no coming and going. It's everyone's set up in one city or the other, and you stay there. Okay? Toronto was going to be having to travel over the border, back and forth to the States. Teams from the States coming back and forth into Toronto. And the Canadian government said, no, sir. And so that comes out the Sunday before the season starts. So as you heard right there, Passan and on ESPN, 5 days before the season starts, Toronto is now trying to find a place to play baseball. And this, Maz, this aggravates you.
Well, again, the part of it that aggravates me is not that it was a no in Toronto. We knew that, or we have known that that is a possibility for a long time. They were talking about this weeks, even months ago, that depending on the situation in Canada, the Jays may not be able to play there, and they're going to have to find an alternative. Why did we have to find out 4 days before? Couldn't we have found out 2 weeks ago? And again, I don't think, we have college programs canceling sports throughout the fall into next spring. So people are doing things months ahead of time. They're making these determinations in these decisions. Why wasn't baseball able to do this sooner?
Because the numbers went up so much in the last couple of weeks. That has to be what it is. Because this, to me, it's a direct counter to the job that this country's done at containing the virus. So now the filthy Americans are unwelcome in Canada. And so you can't come in. And the Bahamas just announced the same thing today, too.
So, I mean, that's interesting, Murray. I'll say this. they should have had a contingency in place.
Absolutely. You know,
as long as the Canadian government was saying this is under review, it's up to Major League Baseball and the Blue Jays to say, okay, in case they give us the no-go, we have this place ready to roll. Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Dunedin, Florida, all these other options that they're talking about. It was incumbent on them to have that backup plan ready, and it doesn't feel like they do. So that's probably the second guess, Maz.
Absolutely. To me, that's what it is. There was no real hard plan B that was, you know, locked in place and say, if this doesn't happen, we move on to this. That should have been already in place. Now, look, do I think they had discussions about it? What if? Yeah, well, it'd be one of these three. But I don't think they pursued it enough. And frankly, I think they should have had an answer sooner. Murray, the numbers have been spiking for a little bit now. Like, they could have gotten the answer a couple of weeks ago. I don't think we were talking about changes potentially in the NBA bubble because of the spike in Florida. Like, these are all things that have been part of the discussion now for weeks at least. And to me, they should have had a clearer picture on this. Now, look, is it going to upend the whole thing? Probably not. And in the case of the Blue Jays, they do have an extra week because Toronto doesn't play a home game, I think it is, until the middle of next week. I think it's the 29th. So there's a little bit more wiggle room there. But again, I just feel like this is way too close to opening day.
You know, and oddly, though, it's one of the things that's made me just a little more interested in this baseball season than I normally would be. And this is sort of where we began today, and we'll reset it. And that is baseball starting. Baseball is starting. The exhibition's over the weekend. The first pitch is Thursday night. Yankees, Nationals, right? And then Friday, the Red Sox kick off their season. And in some ways, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be different. And I've been dying. We have been dying for baseball to just be a little different than it's been. And it's going to. That condensed 60-game schedule is going to be a sprint. And you are going to have empty stadiums. And now when you play Toronto, you're going to play Toronto and Pittsburgh. And maybe that's not different enough to make it to make any difference. Maybe if it's still a boring game that takes 3.5 hours, you know, what does it matter? But I don't know. I feel like there's going to be at least something different. And this and the Toronto thing just adds to it. Where the hell are they going to play? Where the hell are they going to play? That whole operation has to not just, I mean, and you're talking about different things, right? Did you say earlier, Murray, that they were looking at Camden Yards too?
Yeah. So the latest is that there was a statement released by the Pittsburgh Pirates today saying that they're looking into the possibility of hosting these games. And from just, you know, a cursory search on Twitter since that came out, it feels like, based on reporters that cover the Jays, like that's where this is leaning towards. They're going to play at PNC in Pittsburgh, but they're also reportedly considering Camden Yards and still Buffalo and Dunedin.
But Mike, you can see where this would cause all types of, you know, unpredictability or uncertainty, because the only way the Blue Jays can play their games in Pittsburgh is if their schedules line up.
So apparently there's only one weekend that has a conflict.
I missed that part of it too. So, you know, from that standpoint, I guess that's good news. But again, I just feel like baseball's flying by the seat of its pants here a little bit. Now, look, in terms of the unpredictability of it, will it make the season more interesting? Hell yeah. The 60 games alone does that. And I'm not telling you I don't welcome the other things. I do. But the part of the problem with baseball is that, you know, we've got this product has grown stale. This year, the product should not be stale. There should be greater uncertainty, not to mention, you know, you talked about the extra inning rules. You have the 3-batter minimum. You're going to have a DH in all National League games. Like, you know, there are some variables in there that are going to make it different for a lot of people.
Okay, so can you start to feel the excitement building for baseball? Has something we haven't said a lot here in the last several years on the program, but we're feeling it a little bit. Sox open up this week. What are your thoughts on them? What are your thoughts on the readiness of baseball? What's your thoughts on your readiness for baseball? We'll reset all those items. We'll take your calls. We got some on the board. We'll get right to them in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art top tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mast.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mast.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Literally speaking, we're 5 days away from opening day, and the Jays have no idea where they will spend that first day when they play at home. It's unbelievable. Bottom line, give me some answers here. What are the options that are still at play for them?
It looks like there are three options, Zubin. Number one in Buffalo, New York is Salem Field. The problem with it is that the lighting in the outfield is substandard when it comes to making it look like a pretty TV product, and the clubhouses are small, and the Blue Jays are worried about social distancing inside of that. The plug-and-play option is down in Dunedin, Florida, where they hold their spring training. Everything is taken care of there. They know that they have the right facility. The problem, of course, is the outbreaks of the coronavirus in Florida have been much more significant, and there's some fear over that. Blue Jays president Mark Shapiro alluded to a potential third site. Wouldn't go into any details about that, but the fact is we are less than a week from opening day. We are 10 days from the Blue Jays home opener. And like you said, Zubin, no idea where it's going to be.
So that is something. That is something. 617-779-0985. I'm not sure if you guys were listening there. The lighting in Buffalo is substandard. Did you hear that?
Yeah, AAA, yeah.
The lighting? What do you mean?
Well, compared to big league ballparks, it's not terribly unusual.
Well, everything in Buffalo is substandard.
Yeah, dark, dark, miserable place. Like, I get that.
Yeah, except for the wings.
They don't play night games in Buffalo for their AAA affiliate? The outfielders can't see the ball? What are we talking about?
Well, look, again, I didn't tell you that it didn't exist. I said it's not the same. The lighting in big league ballparks is off the charts good. I mean, it is. It's you're on the field. It feels like a day game half the time. The lighting is so good. The minor league stadiums are not like that.
Okay, so we'll see where that ends up. I think they'll be at a couple different places, frankly. And Toronto's going to be living out of a suitcase for 2 months out of, you know, in the States. Talk about a, I don't know if you load up against them, if you bet against them or what, but that's going to be quite a deal there for the Blue Jays. Steven's in the car, though. Back to the call. Steven in the car on the Bruins. Hi, Steven.
Hey, Mike, just regarding Pastrnak, even Cassidy came out last week, and the Bruins made sure that they were saying that it was not a disciplinary issue with him. I think the best of all situations happened with him, and Cache might have been part of it, that he caught the virus, he tried to play with it. You know, who knows what's going on today as far as getting players on the ice, but we need to delineate, you know, at this point, the Bergerons and the Chavas of the world, because they have kids. It's like a whole different world for them. And if you look at what happened at South Boston Beaches this weekend,
Steven, I'm just going to cut you off before we go too far. It's up to everyone to show up in shape, ready to go. Period. Story over. It's your responsibility to be there on day one, ready to go. Pastrnak was not. Period. Story over. We got kids, no kids, 7 kids, 10 kids, 3 kids. Show up day one, ready to go. And Pastrnak and Cache were not. And they did not have it. Pastrnak's agent said he tested negative, but that he did come into contact with someone who did. And so he's either got to sit out 14 days or 7 days and undergo sort of a ramped-up testing schedule, one of the two. Either way, the plane takes off Sunday, this Sunday, to Toronto. He better be on that thing. That's all I know. Tom and Quincy, you excited for some Red Sox baseball this year, buddy?
Hey, I'm very excited, Mike, actually. You know, real quick, though, the funniest thing about the Toronto situation, it's just so MLB of them to not have a place to play in 10 days. Like, come on.
Like, I couldn't agree more.
Tony, how do you screw it up that bad? I mean, give me a break. But seriously, guys, opening day this year, I've gone the last, I don't know, 25 opening days at Fenway. And this year is a little different, obviously. You know, it's a Friday night at 7:30, which is weird. There's not going to be anyone in the park, which is weird. I'm going to be drinking beers watching at home, which is weird. The whole thing, though, it's with the 60 games, it's going to be very important for them to get off to a quick start. And luckily for us, they start against the Orioles, and then they go to the Mets for the, you know, for the first seven games. So it's very important that they actually, because we all know that the pitching is just hot garbage all over the roster. So if you can figure that, they're going to hit a ton, they're going to score a ton of runs, right? So if you can get off to a hot start against the Orioles and the Mets before you have to deal with the next five against the Yankees and the Rays, then you can put yourself in a really good situation. If they come out of the gate and just absolutely suck all around, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to make any.
Ooh, I'm sorry, Tommy. Let me stop because right. That's what you already, Maz, have this fear that they're already sort of in mail-in mode, right? Like right. They're mailing it in already. Why do you feel that way?
Just the whole, again, I'm going back to the early part of camp, and you said this early on, and I think it was a fair point, that, you know, think of what happened to them during the offseason. Okay, they're coming off a bad year. They traded Mookie. Sale's gone for the year. They traded Price, and their manager got fired. You're talking about arguably, like, four of the six or seven most important people on the team are in uniform, completely wiped out. So then they're already going into camp saying, we don't have enough. We don't have the horses. The team, the organization has all but called it a bridge year because they won't go over the luxury tax threshold. Then a pandemic hits and turns it into a 60-game schedule. Then on top of that, a couple of guys can't get on the field early on, and Eduardo Rodriguez, who's the quote-unquote ace of your staff that has already been ravaged by trade and injury and departure, in the case of Rick Porcello, all that, now Eduardo Rodriguez can't get on the field. So part of me wonders if the players are going to go, come on, 60 games, we don't want to be out here anyway. The owners busted our balls during negotiations. Like, let's just go out, collect the checks, and we'll go home.
So
Tom's right, though, about the start.
Right.
If the first five or six games, and again, when we say start, normally we're talking April. Now I would tell you the first week. If they come out and go, call it 1-5.
Oh, look, it's over.
Look out below. Look out below. I mean, they could bottom out like nobody's business.
And that's why I think, because I do think, Maz, in all these sports, if you give one of these teams an excuse to shut it down, they just might because, you know, what the hell are we doing? They've cut my pay. I'm away from my family. This is a half season anyway. And so I think all those starts in all of them are going to be so important. And for the Red Sox particularly, because I think you're probably right that, you know, I mean, it feels like a bridge year. And it's obvious to everyone. So if they get off to a slow start, then it's like, all right, let's just get through this thing. But if they start out 5-2, if they start out 7-3, I don't know, something like that. They won't be allowed to shut it down. Like,
no, now you know, you're in it.
All of a sudden, you're in it.
Yeah, you're in it because, again, think about it. 10 games in, you're 7-3. Now you have 50 to go. I mean, that's the equivalent of, like, August 15th being in it. Like, you don't run from that. You embrace that. Now you get a chance.
Waning, crafting. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that the whole dynamic of this just changes so dramatically because of the shortage of time. And I like this year. Like, to me, one of the problems with baseball is the season is too long. They all take this long-term view. They ease their way in, and then they see where they are in the middle, and maybe we'll add a piece, and it takes forever. Now, no. You got to hit the ground running. Let's go.
Wayne and Grafton, give me a Bruins thought here before we hit the top of the hour.
Yeah, Mike, I hope you're hydrated sitting outside in this heat. I know I'm hydrated and I'm sitting inside. But as far as, you know, Pastrnak goes, you know, unfit to participate. Obviously, he was, you know, participating in something. I mean, it's stupid. And then you got Tuca, you know, we know he's, you know, kind of soft. I mean, he can use this as an out. And, you know, that's not good. Yeah, my groin hurts or, you know, I have this where it's, oh, yeah, he used that before. And, Mike, on another note, don't change who you are. I'm going to date myself. I consider you the Don Rickles of sports radio. You rip everybody, and you shouldn't change it. Keep on doing it, and if they give you a hard time, tell them to suck it. Peace out.
Okay, Wayne. Yeah, that works nowadays. Just tell them to suck it. You'll be fine. The thing about Rask, We talk about his mental, you know, his toughness and his, he's a grinder and it, like, what if he's just out of shape? What if he's just out of shape? What if he's one of the guys that just didn't do enough in those 4 months while they were, I mean, he pretty much said it. I mean, he pretty much told you he wasn't skating. He wasn't doing it. He said he got his work in by golfing. That's how he said he got his work in.
Yeah, tough workout, that golf, too.
By golfing. That's how he got his exercise. He said it. That was his quote. So now you show up and you got to be on skates every day and you're playing every other night and it's a huge strain on your back and your groin and all these things and he's just not tuned up for it. What if he's just not ready for it? I mean, that
again, would you be
Stanley Cup, man.
Yeah, would you be surprised if that's the case? Again, that line where he said nonchalantly, oh, I guess I should start skating. I mean, the only thing missing from that was the groan as he got off the couch. I guess I should start skating. It's usually like, you know, that's Maz's, guess I should do the lawn. Or I guess I should get up. It's noon.
I like doing the lawn, Murray.
Well, and he's asked about it. It's like, you know, I think the question's about, you know, carrying that big workload in the playoffs. He says, the way I look at it, all bets are off. All bets are off because everybody's been off for 4 months. It's not the same situation that it would have been or could have been in March or April. Everybody's starting from scratch and trying to recapture the feeling you had when the quarantine period started. It's going to be tough, he says. He says, I'm just going to go out there and play my best, but it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy for everybody. And there was at one point there, he even mentioned like groins and hips and how those things, like, I feel like he's telegraphing the fact that he's not ready to go. He said, yeah. As far as the playoffs are concerned, you never know. You lay off for 4 months, and then you're right back into playoff hockey. There might be some injuries and some nagging injuries that might happen. Your groin, your hips. He's basically telling you. He says, we've had the luxury of me sharing the net with Yaro the last couple of years, and it's worked out great for us. So, like, here we go. This whole thing that we've talked about, the both goalies and all this into the playoffs, it might actually be real this time. And Rask may have told you over the weekend.
Yeah, I wonder if he's already had some of those nagging problems, which is why he's bringing it up. Like, again, he's had to skate off a couple of times in the middle of workouts. I wonder if he's already experiencing it.
Thoughts on this? Thoughts on baseball coming back? We reset it after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here on Felger and Maz, brought to you by DraftKings.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go.
No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.